We've been working for the last few weeks looking at these one another passages, and we began with greet one another. And I encourage you to go out and not just say how you doing, but how's your day going? What's going on in your life? Find out what's happening. Even give them a handshake or look people in the eye. Then we went to honor one another. Boy, that's a challenge, isn't it? Honor one another. And be devoted to one another. And then we talked about serving one another. How can we serve one another? And last week we had a really, some people said, well, that was a really tough sermon, Pastor Dave, when I said submit to one another. Oh, that's a tough one. When we have to submit to one another. And today we're going to take on the topic of accept one another. Accept one another. And we're going to turn to Paul's letter in Romans chapter 15. And when Paul writes this letter, he's writing to a church in Rome about 57 AD. Okay? And he's never been to Rome at this time. But he's writing to a church that's established there. He will eventually go to Rome and give his life there. But he's writing to a church that's struggling. And chapter 14 and 15, it's really the closing of his letter. He's writing to the Jewish people to accept the Gentile people. That's a challenge. So let's look at these words. And before, let's just pray. Lord God of heaven, you're teaching us to greet one another and honor one another and be devoted to one another and serve one another and submit to one another. Lord, help us to learn what it means to accept one another. As we turn to your word, let your word be alive and redemptive. Let your word shape us and mold us and fashion us so that we become more like you in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans 15, 1 through 7. He's coming to the end of his letter, and he says to you, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Wow. These are tough words. We who are strong should help the weak. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything, and he's coming to the end of this letter, but he's talking about all the Old Testament and all that's been written. He says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. So in essence, God's word, the Bible, is used to teach us. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. I would say if we want to find hope today, we pick up our Bible. And everything that is written in here will give us encouragement, help us to endure, and give us hope. That's what Paul's saying here. Everything that was written in the past will give us endurance, will give us encouragement, and will give us hope. And then he says in verse 5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he hits us with verse 7. Accept one another. Accept one another. Then just as Christ has accepted you. accept one another just as Christ has accepted you in order to bring praise to God. So we're going to spend most of our time on verse 7, but going back up a little bit, when Paul writes this letter in 57 AD, there wasn't a lot of unity going on. You see, the Romans had come in and conquered the Greeks, so the Greeks were, I probably use a strong word, the Greeks hated the Romans for overpowering them and taking control of their lives. And both the Greeks and the Romans looked down and they despised the Arabs and the Jewish people. And there was a lot of oppression going on among the people. In fact, the rich were oppressing the poor. And, well, there were the free that were oppressing the slaves. And there were the males that were oppressing the females. There was a lot of disunity going on in Rome in 57 AD. And I think, have we changed very much in our world from 57 AD to 2019? How are his words relevant for us today? There was also a lot of oppression going on because the Jewish people and us as Judeo-Christians, the Jewish people at that time and the Jewish Christians were, a big word, monotheistic. That means they believed in one God. But the Romans and the Greeks, they were polytheistic. They believed in a multitude of gods. So they despised the people who believed in one God. We haven't really changed too much because in our Christian world, Christians are being persecuted. The persecution of Christians around the world is rising because Christians believe in one God. This was all going on in 57 AD. And Paul writes to them, accept one another, just as Christ accepted you. Accept one another. He wants to challenge us. He says in verses 4, 5, and 6, he talks about our neighbor. And I think when Paul's writing that, I think he would be taking in the passage in Luke chapter 10 when Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. We know and we've taught that parable here, but a man gets robbed and beat up and he's left on the side of the road for dead. And a Levite walks by and sees him. No, I'm not stopping. And a priest walks by and he sees him and he goes to the other side of the street. And a Samaritan who, the Samaritans were outcast in Jewish days. They were half-breeds. They were half-Jewish and half-Samaritan. So the Samaritan comes by and picks up the broken and beaten man, patches him up, puts him on his own donkey, takes him into town and pays the innkeeper to care for him until he comes back. And Jesus says to them, who was the good neighbor? And that's what Paul's writing about here. How do we be a neighbor to one another? I'm going to date myself, so I'm going to talk about a guy by the name of Fred McFeely Rogers. Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers. He taught a message in our culture of acceptance. Of accepting one another. In fact, there's a new movie. It's not new. It probably you can get it on Netflix now. You can, if you haven't seen the movie, go rent it or get it on Netflix and watch Mr. Rogers. It's a powerful movie about his life. Mr. Rogers was, he has since passed, but he was a Presbyterian minister. Went to Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. And he decided, he was a pioneer in the day. PBS, he put PBS on the national front with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He would sing this little song and he would say, and I think I have a slide for it, "You've made this day a special day by just your being you. You've made," he would welcome people in and he would say, "You've made this day a special day by you just being you. There is no person in the whole world like you." Do you realize that there's not one person in the world that's like you? You haven't found another person that's like you in the whole world. And then he would say, "I like you just the way you are. I like you just the way you are. I think everybody longs to be loved and longs to know that he or she is lovable." Mr. Rogers' whole program, I think, was based on 1 John 4:10. It's up here. He says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as, that's a big theological concept, atoning sacrifice. The Greek, the actual word in there is propitiation. So they've changed it to atoning sacrifice. In essence, it's saying, this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice. So in essence, it was Jesus' blood, his death, that cleanses our lives. We didn't love, but that God loved us. Paul put it this way, accept one another just as Christ has accepted you. In essence, love one another just as God has loved you, covered over your sin. And if we do that, he says, we're going to glorify God in heaven. Mr. Rogers' whole program was based on the good neighbor. Welcome to the neighborhood. I know it sounds silly, and he was a children's program, but what he taught was so vital to our society. I wonder, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you know your neighbors? Some of you, okay. You've lived long enough, you're maybe in their neighborhood. We've only lived in our neighborhood for a little bit, so we're trying to get to know our neighbors. But in our culture today, we drive in and park our car and go in the house and never go out. And yet Jesus is, or Paul's telling us that we should know our neighbor. So how do we do this? How do we accept one another? How do we appreciate our neighbors? Paul would say, everything that we need to know has been written in here from the past. It's been written right in here. My wife and I took a teenage group down to Ensenada for a mission trip many years ago. And while we were down there, we're going to do a VBS program, but the host said, we want to take you out and meet some of the people and serve some of the people in different areas. And they took us to the outskirts of Ensenada, and we worked in this, for lack of a better word, cardboard village, where people took cardboard and put cardboard up to put partitions so that they could live in little cardboard houses. And when we went down there, we gave them some food and some stuff. But what I noticed the most was most of the people in the cardboard villages on the outskirts of Ensenada were what they said were Indian Mexicans. And I said, well, what's the difference? And they go, well, they're not Spanish Mexicans. And we don't associate with the Indian Mexicans. And I wonder what Paul would say when we're to accept one another, just as Christ accepted us. Well, we stayed there for over 10 days, so we decided that the next day we went down there, we would not just take food. The kids started playing with the other kids and accepting them and welcoming them into our group, because they weren't welcomed or accepted in their group. When the word acceptance, I think I have it here, the Greek word for acceptance is proslambano. So when Paul writes this, he actually writes, it's a verb, proslambano. And we in our translations, depending on your Bible, we would translate it accept. But the Greek word is to welcome, to receive, to take in, and to be a companion with or gather together. Jody gathers all of the youth up here together so that they can be accepted together. So when I say, well, Patty accepts Sammy, well, it means, you know, be a companion along the way or welcome him into your life. So Paul says, welcome people into your life. Welcome your neighbor into your house. When we, I went with a mission team to Ecuador, and we went down to start a renewal weekend down there. We had started a renewal weekend in Peru, the next country over from Ecuador. And so the next year we went to Ecuador, and we brought some Peruvian men to help us with the Ecuadorian weekend. There was probably 15, 20 white Americans, okay? And we had on one side of the room about 20 Peruvian men and about 15 Americans in the middle of the room, and we had about 30 Ecuadorian men on the other side of the room, and the Ecuadorians wouldn't associate with the Peruvians because they didn't accept them. And the Peruvians didn't want to accept the Ecuadorians. And if you stood in the middle of the room, you could look and see the difference in the people. And so by the end of the weekend, though, they were hugging each other and loving each other and accepting one another. Paul says, accept one another as Christ has accepted you. That's a powerful statement. Accept one another as Christ has accepted you. I've given you two radical, you know, you're not going to go to Ecuador or Peru or maybe even Mexico, but you're going to go to the grocery store. You're going to go to the mall. You're going to walk down your street. How are you going to learn to accept one another as Christ has accepted you? So, he says, so that you could bring God glory. When you accept someone else, do you know what you're doing? You're making God smile. When we lived back in Illinois, we had a young lady who went with her family to Canada. and she got bit by a mosquito, and she got encephalitis of the brain. And she grew up, her name was Susie. And Susie became my wife's BFF. And she was always spending time at our house. She was always over there hanging out. And well, Susie, you know, she had encephalitis of the brain, so she was not always welcomed. And sometimes when people saw Susie, they would walk away or not accept her because she was different. And we always welcomed her. One thing about Susie that I was so impressed with, I mean, she got bit by this mosquito when she was like 10 years old, and she lived to be about 35, 40. But the whole time I knew Susie, she always smiled. She was always, and she always wanted to tell people how much God loved them. And she used the line that I use, you know, God loves you, and so do I. And she'd want to tell people about God's love and welcome them into her life. She would want to try and accept them as her neighbor. When Mr. Rogers spoke at a commencement exercise, I'm going to back you up, Michael, at Middlebury College, I took his quote, and he says, when we look for what's best in the person, we happen to be at that moment we're doing what God does. Well, stop and think about that. So if I go over here and look for what's best in Al, I'm doing what God does. We're doing what God does. So in appreciating our neighbor, we're participating in something truly sacred. So when we go out this week and you see someone store or in the mall or maybe on the freeway, are you going to look for what's best in them? And if you do look for what's best in them, we're doing something that's sacred. One of our trips back to Illinois recently, we came back for a little bit to Illinois, and we were told that Susie was gravely ill. And she had grown, and she had her own apartment, and we contacted the family, and I said, can I go see her? And they said, yeah. And when we got there, she was in a coma. She'd been on hospice, and she was dying. And when we walked in, Jack said to her, hi, Susie. It's Dave and Jack. And tears rolled down her eyes. And I thought about that special moment of all those years of welcoming Susie into our lives and accepting her for who she was. And then being with her when she got to be accepted by Jesus permanently and made whole and complete. And then God seeing her, how truly special she was. I started a ministry in a church in Missouri, about 30 miles from Branson and about 30 miles from Springfield, Missouri. I was a solo pastor of a small country church. And the church had gone through some conflict. And when I got there, the people were in conflict. And I was doing my best to try and bring the sides together and work with them. And we were reaching out. And I was bringing some new people into the church. And we brought in the butcher and his wife and his daughter, who was divorced but had three kids. And they started coming to church. And the butcher really loved Jesus, and he would come and sit in the front row and raise his hands during one of the hymns. And one day, I mean, it was kind of a white-collar church. What I mean by that, we had doctors and lawyers and, you know, some higher educated people in the church. And one day the doctor and his wife invited my wife and I over for lunch. And they sat us down and they set a nice plate and a nice place setting. And after lunch, the doctor said, "Pastor, we need to talk to you about some of the people that are coming to church." And he said, "You know, some churches," and he had this really fancy plate. He says, "Some churches are like this fancy plate, and really only fancy plates need to go to that church." And then he said, "You know, this cup is really a nice cup, and there should be a church like for these fancy cups." And then he held up his napkin and he said, we're kind of like a napkin church. And people that are like the napkin should come to the napkin church." And I was following what he's doing here. You know, I know where he's going. And so I grabbed my napkin, and actually it was a little crumpled up, and I wadded it up. And I said, "I won't use his name, doctor. Can this napkin go to the napkin church?" Because see, napkins go to the napkin church, right? Can this napkin, who's really kind of broken and crumpled and wounded, can it go to the napkin church? And you know what he said? "No. Because it's not like the rest." And then I took my napkin and I said, "But doctor, what happens if Jesus takes that napkin and kind of straightens it out a little bit? Can it then go to the napkin church?" And he said, "No." And he said, "Pastor, you don't understand. We're asking you to ask these people not to come to church." And I said, "Well, doc, you don't understand. I'm not going to do that. Because Jesus says that we're to accept one another. We're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Who is the good neighbor? If we have a church of really nice napkins, then the crumpled napkins can't come." Paul wrestled with this issue in the early church. And he says, "I want you to welcome, be a companion to accept one another. Just as Christ accepted you." You see, because in a way, we're all kind of like this. You know, we get bumped and we get broken and we might get some stains on us. And Christ says, "You're welcome in my family and in my church." So Paul says, accept one another as Christ accepted you, so that you can bring glory to God. Your So What challenge this week is, it's up here. No matter where you go, I'm going to ask you to, this week, as in all the other weeks, like a couple weeks ago, I said, go out and meet someone and say, "How's your day going?" and find out what God's going to do. and I've gotten a lot of responses back. I want you to go out this week and look for the best in the people you meet. I want you to look for the best, not the worst, not the mediocre. I want you to see what's the best in your coworker or your neighbor or your clerk or your waiter or your waitress or someone that you're going to come in contact with. Look for the best in that person, and this is how Christ lived his life. You see, because Jesus associated with sinners and tax collectors and lepers and the broken and the outcast, and he said, come on in. You're welcome here. I have a little video clip for you.